Counsel, this is the case of Peterson versus Jacobitz. And this is a petition for further review. So, Ms. Hammond, you are here today and you requested the petition for further review. No, you did not. Mr. Brandt, you did. So, Mr. Brandt, you get to argue first. Do either counsel have any questions before we begin? Mr. Brandt, you may approach and you may proceed.
Thank you. Good morning. My name's, may it please the court. My name is John Brandt. I am counsel for the petitioner, appellee Jody Runhovda. This is a review of the opinion of the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals found subject matter jurisdiction in a complaint filed by a putative father in the wrong court at the wrong time. No subject matter jurisdiction existed when he filed that complaint in the wrong court. And currently, there is no subject matter jurisdiction with this court in this case. An adoption proceeding is currently pending of an 8-year-old boy to be adopted by the only father he's ever known in Phelps County. And this court, by following clearly articulated plain language of Nebraska statutes, has the ability to provide for finality to that adoption. The putative father for the child of the proposed adoption received notice, as required under the adoption statutes, of the anticipated adoption proceedings. He took that notice, which clearly stated 43-104.5 sub 4 sub A of Nebraska statutes. It clearly recited that statute and that notification in the notice that he received from HHS, and it said you have to file it in the county where the child was born. You have to that's where you have to file this complaint. The putative father filed his complaint in Phelps County Court. The child was born in Buffalo County Court. The Phelps County Court had a hearing. The matter was transferred by the court on the request of the putative father to Buffalo County Court. It was transferred out of time and from a court without jurisdiction in Phelps County Court.
The statute you're referring to is section 43-104.05. Is that what you're relying on?
Yes, Your Honor. And I anticipated the distinction that the court might see between the first subparagraph, which the Court of Appeals relied on, and my subparagraph that I'm relying on, which is subsection 4 sub A. The reason I'm relying on that portion of the statute, Your Honor, is because that portion of the statute uses the word jurisdiction. That portion of the statute says that the county court of the county where the child was born shall have jurisdiction over proceedings under this section from the date of notice provided under other sections.
Now, there's a disjunctive in both subsections, but the disjunctive pertains to a separate juvenile court or a juvenile court proceeding.
Yes.
And there is, in this particular case, no juvenile court proceeding involved, right?
There was no juvenile court proceeding, Your Honor. Correct. So there's the disjunctive is the separate phrase.
Just as a hypothetical, if there were a juvenile court proceeding involved, where would jurisdiction be then?
I think it's clear from the statute it would be with the juvenile court. Wherever that juvenile court is, the juvenile court would have jurisdiction over the child. That's where the complaint should be filed of the putative father. So the portion of the statute that we're focusing on is the county court of the county where the child is born, and Your Honor brought up, or the juvenile court having jurisdiction over the custody child shall have jurisdiction. So if you separate the juvenile court portion, then the county court has jurisdiction. I think the county court of that paragraph applies to where jurisdiction is. So
I beg your pardon. Is there some tension between these statutes? And if so, which one are subsections? And if so, which one would prevail?
I didn't understand the first part of that question.
Is there some tension between the two subsections?
I don't think there's a tension necessarily as the use of a word to clarify what the legislature intended through their language in the lower portion of that subsection. The Court of Appeals relied on the Nebraska State Tort Claims Act and habeas proceedings to view this statute as applying to venue, not jurisdiction. And there's a distinction in the language of the State Tort Claims Act and the Blitzky case that the Court of Appeals cited, together with habeas cases and the habeas statute, to where the language of the statute itself, the first part says, these types of courts have jurisdiction over these matters. These types of courts in the State Tort Claims Act, district courts have jurisdiction over tort claims against the state. The second sentence in the State Tort Claims Act says, this is where you should file it. You should file it where the action arose. It doesn't say this, where the action arose has jurisdiction. It just says that's where the action arose. Here, it's distinguishable from that. Here it says, this is where you have jurisdiction. You have jurisdiction in the county court where the child was born.
Would you agree that if we only had sub one, the 43-104-105 sub one that the Court of Appeals focused on, that's phrased in what we've described as venue terms?
I think it's more arguable that it's venue terms, but I think you have to read a statute as a whole. You see jurisdiction of the statute later on in that statute, and because it says jurisdiction, that's what the legislature intended.
So what is sub one of this statute speaking to, and what is subsection 4A? Are they saying the same thing at different times, or are they speaking to different subjects?
By reading the language of the statute, it's saying the same thing. They're applying to the same place of where the action needs to be filed and which court has jurisdiction. Our Nebraska Constitution says that the legislature can get to decide under 5 sub 22 that the Nebraska legislature can get to decide which courts have jurisdiction for which types of suits. And that's what the legislature is doing. It's saying, we want it to go to a specific county court. Residency
but,
is a
but point. Isn't that normally venue?
By normally venue, no. And I would direct the court's attention to the Schlunz case, which is an appeal of an Administrative Procedure Act case. In the Schlunz case, it was an appeal from an Administrative Procedure Act, and it had to be the situs, the jurisdiction of where the action should be filed in the district court. It should be filed in the district court where the hearing under the APA took place.
Where the action was taken, isn't the statutory language.
Thank you, Your Honor. Yes, where the action was taken under the APA, and that would have been, and I may be getting the counties mixed up, but that would have been Harlan County, and they filed in Furnace County. This court found that they didn't have jurisdiction because they filed in the wrong county. It's the same thing here. It's they filed in the wrong county, and it was the only county that would have jurisdiction, which would be where the child was born, to hear the matter. So without that filing in that county at that right time, there's no jurisdiction, and there currently is no jurisdiction.
So is there a in the Schlunz case, you're talking about an action that was taken in a specific county, is that the same thing as where a birth took place?
I think you can only have an action under the APA for that appeal in one place. It's easily known where the action took place. For something like a State Tort Claims Act, where a cause of action arose is kind of a more fungible concept.
Well, you just made the comment that it's easily known. Is the birthplace of a child easily known?
I would say it's more easily known in our society today than it would be the residence of a mother or some other situation. But the legislature said what can only be one place is where the child is born. And this is the court that we want to decide whether a putative father has the ability to consent to an adoption or object to it.
Isn't 4A talking about timing? Isn't that the difference between subsection 1 and subsection 4A? Subsection 1 reads like a venue prescription, and then subsection 4A is talking about the timing. It talks about 30 days jurisdiction until 30 days after the conclusion. Or do you read subsection 4A to be speaking to something else?
I read subsection 4A to be speaking about where the matter should be filed within 30 days of filing the notice with HHS. That's the way I read 4A. As far as where the timing is concerned, it's concerned with how quickly the putative father needs to file that complaint. And then when the county court needs to hold the hearing, which is in so many days after the filing, and then it could also be transferred up to a district court for hearing.
I beg your pardon. I do have a question. Maybe I'm confused at the answer. The way I am hearing this is that you have indicated that subsection 1 is where to file, and 4A is also where to file.
I think they're, my position is that they both speak to jurisdiction. So they're subsection 1 and subsection 4A both include where to file and which county would have jurisdiction over the matter. And 4A specifically says jurisdiction over the matter. I see I'm out of time. Is there further questions?
I did have a further question. So it's your reading of this statute that it provides for jurisdiction twice?
My reading of the statute is that it says jurisdiction under 4A, and that is where the jurisdiction would lie for where the complaint needs to be filed by the putative father. Subsection, I don't know why they put it in 4A and didn't put it in 1, but it's there in 4A, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Hammonds, good morning to you. You may proceed.
May it please the court, Your Honors, counsel. My name is Sarah Hammond, and I represent the appellant father, Austin Peterson. So Mr. Brandt focused specifically on section 4A of Nebraska Revised Statute 43-104.05.
Did the Court of Appeals speak about 4A at all?
The Court of Appeals did not mention 4A in their opinion, Your Honor. They specifically referenced Nebraska Revised Statute Section 25-51711 as granting exclusive jurisdiction. And let me read the statute so I don't misstate it. Granting exclusive original jurisdiction in matters of adoption, except if a separate juvenile court already has jurisdiction over the child to be adopted, concurrent original jurisdiction with that separate juvenile court. So therefore, the Court of Appeals interpreted that the legislature gave a specific grant of jurisdiction in matters of adoption to the county courts of the state of Nebraska. And therefore, section 43-104.05, section 1, deals with the venue of where the putative father should file his basically complaint to have his objection adjudicated.
Was there already an adoption proceeding filed in Phillips County?
There was not an adoption proceeding filed already. It was filed on November 13th of 2019, and our client filed his objection to the adoption on the 21st of October 2019.
Before the adoption is actually.
Yes, Your Honor. And at the hearing at Phelps County, the judge introduced the first page of the adoption petition, which was when our client learned where the child had been born, because previously he did not know where the child had been born, and so there was no way for him to know this.
The statute you were quoting from regarding exclusive original jurisdiction of the county court, that's section 24-507?
25-517, section 11, Your Honor.
25?
I believe so. Oh, 24-517, yes, okay. Your Honor. I apologize. And so since the putative father had no clue where this child had been born. In fact, he didn't even know he had a child until receiving the notice of intent to adoption from Mr. Brandt that he filed in the place which seemed most logical to him, because Mr. Brandt had indicated in his letter that they would be filing their adoption in Phelps County. And so our client decided to file in Phelps County, as if the minor child was living with his mother in Phelps County, it's logical, if you do not know the exact place of birth, to file it in that county.
What do you understand section 43104.05 sub 4A to provide?
I understand that it is the timing of the jurisdiction. If it was just another specific grant of jurisdiction, this would be superfluous language, because the legislature would not grant original jurisdiction to adoption matters in section 24-517.11, and then again in subsection 4 of 43-104.05, as it would render the need for 24-517 redundant.
So help me with this. Timing to do what? 4A, timing to do what?
Oh, it's the timing of the retention of jurisdiction of the case, Your Honor, from what I was able to read. Whereas it states that the county court or the separate juvenile court, which already has jurisdiction, it says having jurisdiction over the custody of the child, shall have jurisdiction over the proceedings under this section from the date of the notice and then until after 30 days after the conclusion of adoption proceedings concerning the child. So my plain reading of this statute is that it is only to do with the timing, the retention of jurisdiction by the court, and when the matter should be dismissed if the court decides that the putative father's consent is not needed and they can dismiss.
How is that applicable in this case?
In this case, Your Honor, I believe that that means that Buffalo County Court, the Court of Appeals was correct in stating that the Buffalo County Court incorrectly dismissed the case, that this case should have proceeded through an adjudication of the notice of objection, where they could have had a substantive hearing with evidence to allow the putative father to make his claim, and the trial court judge could have weighed the credibility of the witnesses, and then he could have made a determination on the objection and whether it was correct to proceed to then a paternity action and getting parenting time and custody established. And so.
So help me, I'm not following this well. So the court in Buffalo County has 30 days to, is that what?
I believe what that is saying is that the case should be kept open until 30 days after the adoption. And that's when that case can be closed as well. I could be misreading the statute too, but that is my plain reading of the statute. Yes. So section 4A, it deals with the timing of the jurisdiction, and it also refers to the venue again, where section 1 refers to the venue as to where an action could be filed. And
but it doesn't use the word venue.
Does not
use. Says jurisdiction.
Yes, Your Honor.
So
don't we have difficulty with the legislature never uses the word venue and repeatedly uses the word jurisdiction? What are we to do with that?
From that, Your Honor, I would say again that the legislature does not usually mean to be superfluous in creating statutes. and they specifically granted jurisdiction over adoption matters to county courts in 24-517. And so in 43-104.05, when they're referring to jurisdiction, I believe that what they're saying is we've already established that county courts have jurisdiction over adoptions, but these are the two places that they could file these matters. And these are the two courts that could actually adjudicate those claims.
So if we were to support your position, we should write the opinion to say the legislature really meant venue when they used the word jurisdiction.
I would say that, yes, the legislature was not as clear as they could have been. Whereas from the plain reading of the statutes and the implicit meaning of having a specific grant of jurisdiction, that when the legislature wrote 43-104.05, that they were basically giving a roadmap as to where jurisdiction could be, as they had already granted specific jurisdiction over adoption matters to county courts in 24-517.
You've referred to the 24-517 as a granted specific jurisdiction, but isn't it possible that that's a general grant of jurisdiction pertaining to adoptions generally, and that this is actually the specific grant of jurisdiction speaking to a very specific type of action within an adoption?
So what you're saying is that 24-517 is a general, whereas 43...
I'm asking your position, which one is specific and which one's general?
24-517-11 is the specific original jurisdiction and adoption matters to county courts in the state of Nebraska, all county courts. That's why it's not a fatal error that the father in this case filed in Phelps County, the county that he knew had a connection to the child, because he didn't know where the child was actually born, because the Phelps County had jurisdiction and they had the jurisdiction to transfer the case to Buffalo County, and then Buffalo County, the correct venue for this matter, would then adjudicate the father's claims.
Well, let me ask you another hypothetical. If the adoption proceeding had been filed before the objection was filed.
Yes.
And the adoption proceeding had been filed in Phelps County.
Then I would say that both counties would have jurisdiction. Buffalo County being the county where the child was born, and then Phelps County being the county that has jurisdiction over the adoption matter, as it is a bifurcated venue statute of an either or.
So what, how would that get us?
I believe it would be whichever the plaintiff would file first, and then the defendant could then make a motion to transfer venue if it is considered an inconvenient form. But I believe that both counties would have venue, and probably the county where the adoption would file would maybe have the superior claim to venue, just because it has the pending adoption claim, whereas the only connection from the county where the child was born is that's where the child was born. And if the child hasn't been residing in that county, probably has a less valued claim. Any further questions? Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. That concludes arguments in Peterson versus Jacobitz. Counsel, thank you very much. And you are excused, and the court will go on to the next case of the day, which is Chambers versus Bringenberg.